I want us to think about what it means to be called to freedom. To help us with that, look with me in John chapter 8, beginning of verse 31. John chapter 8, as we are called to freedom. There was a man who wanted to celebrate his anniversary, his wedding anniversary. So he told his wife, "We're going to go out to a nice dinner tonight. Don't cook, don't plan, don't prepare. I'm going to take you out on the town, and we're going to go to a nice restaurant, candlelit dinner." And over that candlelight, he began to express his love for his wife. He did so by quoting a list of her physical features as if reading off of her driver's license. He said, "You are 5'4". Your weight is 120. You were born in January. You have brown hair and brown eyes, and you live on East Maple Street." Now imagine the same situation. Imagine a husband says to the wife, "We're going to go out to the nice restaurant. Don't cook, don't plan, don't prepare. We're going to go out. We're going to have candlelight dinner." They sit down. The candlelight is there. He looks into her eyes, and over the candlelight, he says, "You walk in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that is best of dark and night meet in the aspect of your eyes." Which one's getting a kiss before dessert? The romantically challenged husband in the first situation communicated information that was accurate. What he said was true. But he failed to communicate the depth, the magnitude, the beauty of his love for his wife. The passage that we're going to look at here in just a minute, Jesus talks about freedom. But he doesn't talk about it in just a factual way. As you hear his words, you'll see that it's a whole lot more than just relaying information. There's power here. There's beauty. There's an amazing depth to what he has to say about freedom. I want us to look at it very carefully because what he says is so powerful. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not just truth that is relaying information. Not just the driver's license info. But he says, when you abide in my truth, in my word, you'll know the truth, and that truth, much more powerful than information, that truth makes you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." As we hear him say these powerful words, I want you to notice a few things with me this morning. First, notice that freedom is available. Freedom is available. He says, if you abide in my word, then you'll know the truth, and that truth will set you free. And then he says, if the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed. When he says you're free indeed, he means you're free for real. You're free big time. You're really, honestly free. I want us to think about that freedom real quickly. Freedom is available. And as we think about the fact that it's available, we recognize a few things about it. The first thing we recognize about that this freedom that's available is we realize that it's inspirational. He says, when you abide in my word, you'll learn the truth, and that truth will set you free. That's inspiring for us. Consider for a moment the incredible hope expressed in the promise that Jesus can set people free. You know somebody who needs to be set free. You know somebody who is bound up in chains that won't let them be who they were intended to be, won't let them enjoy the abundant life. Some of those chains are obvious and easy to spot, like immoral addiction. Some of those chains are so acceptable that it's easy for us to overlook them. It's harder for us to recognize them. Chains that hold us back, like fear or poverty, worldliness, doubt, anger, bitterness, legalism, racism, insecurity, despair, depression. Whatever category you classify your slavery, the result is the same. It's a failure to experience the abundant life promised in Christ. You know, one of the things that makes life difficult, and life is difficult on this side of glory, one of the things that makes it difficult is some of the pressures that we put on ourselves. We decide, I'm going to be the cool one. And now, from now on, everything I say in front of anybody has to be cool. Everything I do has to be cool. Or we say, I'm going to be the proper one. And I'm going to show everyone how valuable and important I am by being so proper. Or we say, I'm going to show everybody how I'm the one who is the leader, and I've got to always be in charge and be in control. Or we say, I can't get enough attention. We have a narcissistic society. We've got more people who are addicted to attention than to any other addiction, in my opinion. People have got to be the center of attention. Look at me, listen to me, laugh at me, be impressed by me. It's all about me, me, me. I want to say to you, what if you could wake up one morning and you didn't have to worry about, am I getting attention? What if you could wake up one morning and you were free from having to be cool? You're free from having to be proper. You could just relax and be you. What a life that would be. And Jesus says, one of the things that I've come to bring. If I set you free, he says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free from having to be the center of attention. Free from having to be cool. You're allowed and able to just live, to be the one God intended you to be. It's inspiring to think about. Not only is that inspirational, but the freedom that he's talking about, the freedom that is available, is also spiritual. He's not talking to these folks about a physical freedom. He's not saying to them, I'm going to come and overturn Rome so that you can have political freedom. He's not talking about the circumstances surrounding them. He's talking about a spiritual reality that actually allows us to experience a deep freedom regardless of our situation. He's talking about a spiritual reality. 2 Corinthians puts it this way, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This freedom is a spiritual reality that comes out of who God is. And if God has reign in our life through the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is working within our lives, then we are free to be the people God intended us to be. not only is this kind of freedom that's available inspirational, spiritual, it's also purposeful. Jesus describes the freedom that he offers resulting from abiding in his truth. In other words, he says, if you abide in my word, you find truth, and that truth will set you free. So he's not talking about freedom that is a lack of restraint. Because I'm free, I can go do whatever I want to do. And I can go, you know, I can make any decision I want to make, go any direction I want to make, hurt anybody I want to do because I'm free. Obviously, that's not what he's talking about, because his freedom is founded in his truth. So he says, you abide in my words, you find truth, that truth sets you free. It sets you free to become who God intended you to be. It sets you free to do all that God has intended you to do. It sets you free to find abundant life. There is purpose in this freedom, not just chaos. Let me see if I can help explain what I'm talking about. This is scary, isn't it? When you put a 3-year-old down at the piano, you know what they love to do? Three-year-old just loves to make noise. Bang. Now you put somebody down at the piano who has had lessons, time for me to get up, who has lessons and reads music and has a heart for music and knows what they're doing, then they can make beautiful music here. They can use the same keys, the same strings, and yet they express themselves in a powerful way. Now you tell me, which one is more free? In our mind, we think of freedom as the chaos. Nobody can tell me what to do. The freedom that Christ is talking about is one that fulfills a purpose. So you don't have to go through life trying to be somebody you're not, or trying to put on fronts, or trying to impress it. It allows you to be who you're intended to be. Somebody who knows how to play. When Lisa sits down at the piano, she's able to express herself in the way that the piano was intended to allow her to do that. A kid that sits down at the piano and just goes nuts, it's just chaos. Jesus' kind of freedom is a freedom that's founded in truth that allows us to become, to be who God intended us to be. We fulfill our purpose when we are freed up to do so. However, there are some roadblocks to freedom, and we need to think about those. We found out that freedom is available. But then we need to understand there are some roadblocks to that freedom. Let me show you some of the roadblocks. Because even though Jesus clearly declared that freedom was possible, the sad reality is that very few people experience this kind of freedom. The list that we're going to find here in this text is not an exhaustive list of things that can keep you from being free, but it does give us some good examples of the kinds of things we're talking about. And the first thing that can be a roadblock to freedom is ignorance. It's just ignorance. And that's not a negative word. It's not an insult. It's just the lack of knowledge. You just don't know something. And you see, when he was talking to them about this freedom, some of the people said, how is it that you say you shall become free? They didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't know the freedom that he was offering them. And because they didn't understand it, they couldn't find it. They didn't know that this kind of freedom was available. You and I are fortunate this morning that we have his words printed for us so that we know it's available. Well, we need to be aware of another roadblock then, and that is the roadblock of arrogance. When he said to these folks, if you abide in my word, then you're real disciples of mine. And as those real disciples of mine, abiding in my word, you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. They say, wait a minute. What are you talking about freedom? In verse 33, they said, we are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? The Israelites, the Jews, say they've never been enslaved to anyone? How about Egypt? How about Babylon? How about Assyria? Even in this day, to a great degree, how about Rome? What are they talking about? They've never been enslaved. There was a certain level of arrogance here where they said, no, that's nothing that we've ever had to deal with. Their greatest slavery that these folks had experienced was their own sin. And the leaders in particular were just unwilling to acknowledge that sin. There was an arrogance in the leadership of the Jewish life at this time, in Jesus' time. There was a real arrogance because they knew down deep within that they could not keep the law. And yet they could not admit that to others. They were looking down on others, pointing their fingers at others, judging others, pretending they could live up to this standard, but they couldn't. Nobody could. That's part of the point of the law, to show that we need a Savior. The law demonstrates, points out our sin. Well, instead of allowing the law to show them their sin, they used it as a way to show everyone how righteous they were and how wonderful they were. And that arrogance shut their minds to the possibility of being free from all that. Another roadblock that keeps us from experiencing real freedom is reluctance. The verse right before the one we started with here, verse 30, says, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. And in 31, where we started, it said, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, the implication is clear that there were some who didn't. There were some who will not find this freedom because they did not believe him. And so when he says, if you abide in my word, then you're my disciples, he is saying, those of you who don't believe me, who don't abide in me, you're not my disciples, therefore you can't find freedom. When there's a reluctance on our part to really follow him, then we have to acknowledge that we are missing out on the freedom that he's going to bring. Well, another roadblock to real freedom is complacence. Ignorance, arrogance, reluctance, and complacence. Because I'm intrigued by his statement where he says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. He adds that emphasis. If the Son does it, then it's done right. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Not just in thought or not just as a possibility or potential. You are free indeed. And as I thought about that, I remembered when Ashley was young and we'd go to a place like Chuck E. Cheese or Peter Piper or one of the, you know, and you go and they play the games, and out of the games they get these little tickets. You know, you spend $50 on these games so they can get $2 worth of tickets, and then they take those $2 worth of tickets and trade them in for a toy that's worth 25 cents, you know. They play these games, they get these tickets, and then they go over to the counter and they trade in the tickets for the toys. Most of the time, after you've been there for quite a while, they've got these tickets. Most of the time when they go to the counter, they find out that they really still only have enough tickets to buy toys on the bottom shelf. It's very rare that you can actually hit a jackpot and get enough tickets that you can go to the counter and buy the toys on the top shelf. That's a great day when that finally happens. You know what I thought about is, I think most of us spend our lives as believers settling for the stuff on the bottom shelf. We miss the prize. We miss the great blessings of abundant life because we're willing to settle for the bottom shelf stuff. It's good enough. And so he says, if you abide in my word, then you're really my disciple. And that's where you find real truth. That truth will set you free. And then he says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Most of us miss out on that because we don't take him up on the offer of abiding. We kind of run past the Bible once in a while. We pick it up, glance at it, think about it, head off. We go to Sunday school and let them tell us what's in there. We show up for church. We're done. We did our religious thing on Sunday. Now we get back to real life, in our opinion. And we're settling for the bottom shelf stuff. He says, if you really want to find freedom, it's found in abiding in my word, letting me bring that truth to you so that you can really be free. Complacence is a roadblock to this real freedom. Well, then I want you to see, as we're almost done, I want you to see as well that freedom is accessible. Freedom is available. There are roadblocks to it, but it is accessible. Jesus identifies a process for experiencing true freedom when he says, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If And then explains to us the process. And it's not a legalistic formula where you jump through this hoop, I'll give you freedom. He's just showing us the way in which things operate in his kingdom. For example, you are free to watch the sunrise each morning. It's been a while since I've seen it, but you're free to watch the sunrise. The only way you're going to do that, though, is to get up early enough. Hence, I haven't seen it why. The only way you're going to see the sunrise is if you get up early enough, and if you go outside, and if you face east. That's the only way you're going to see it rise. It's going to rise whether you're there or not. Right? But you're going to miss it unless you go through the process of how things work. Unless you get up early enough, go outside and face east. All right? So he says here, this is not a legalistic hoop. You have to do this or I'm not going to give you. He's just saying this is the way it works. In order to put yourself into a position where you can find freedom, because freedom will never come looking for you. Freedom never comes looking for you. If you're going to find freedom, you have to find it by working things the way the process works. And that is, you abide in his word, thereby becoming his disciple, and then he brings you freedom that leads to abundant life. Well, as we think about that, it's all wrapped up in that word abiding. Freedom is accessible, but the process is, if you abide, then you find freedom. So remember that abiding, it involves perseverance. Abiding, that word abide comes from the same word as abode. An abode is a place you live. Abiding in his word means you live there. That's who you are. That's how you define yourself. That's not just a religious activity that you throw into the beginning of your day to make God happy. You're abiding in Jesus' word and abiding in your relationship with him. That defines who you are. That's what it means to abide. There's a perseverance there, an ongoing commitment and dedication and joy in spending time with Him. Verse 31, He said, if you abide in My Word, then you're true disciples of Mine. Not a 30-day trial period of faith. It's not a 12-week Bible study. He offers freedoms to those who abide, those who persevere in it. But abiding also involves something else. It involves location. It involves location. Jesus declares that true freedom is found in My Word. Those who abide in My Word are truly My disciples, and they find freedom. Freedom is not found in self-help programs, legalistic religion, pop psychology, or through selfish indulgence. That's not real freedom. Real freedom, true and complete freedom, is found in Christ. Romans chapter 8 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. It is in Christ that abiding has a perseverance. It also has a place in your relationship with Jesus. That's where you find freedom. How many of you are tired of paying the high prices at the gas pump? Gas prices are nuts. I want you to know, you can rest easy. I've got the solution. I figured out a way to help reduce the price of gas. Ashley and Lisa have been on me for years to put a swimming pool in the backyard. We're not putting a swimming pool in the backyard. But what they don't know is the main reason we're not going to put a swimming pool in the backyard is I have a plan for the backyard. I'm going to start drilling for oil in my backyard. And when I start drilling for oil, I'm going to find enough oil that we're going to be able to reduce, we'll use our own oil, we'll reduce the price of gas. Does that sound like a plan? You and I both know it's not going to work, don't we? Because I can't just say, I'm going to go drill in my backyard and find oil. If you're going to drill for oil, you got to find where the oil is first and then go drill there. Right? You want to find freedom? You find out where it is first and then you move to it. Freedom is not going to come find you. You got to find it. And for you to find it, you got to go where it is. Where is it? It is in Christ. How do you get to be in Christ? You abide in My Word. You are My disciples, and you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. This week, we need to celebrate freedom. And we're going to enjoy celebrating freedom because it's worth celebrating. But as we do, we remember that the freedom we're celebrating this week is not something that we just stumbled on. It's not something that came looking for us. The freedom that we celebrate this week cost an awful lot. A whole lot of blood has been shed to make sure that you're allowed and able to sit where you're sitting today. So we need to celebrate it. But we understand it cost a lot. The same thing is true with the freedom that we receive in Christ. The freedom that we receive in Christ has cost our God a lot. Jesus paid the price so that you and I could be free indeed. We need to be sure that we're grateful. Be sure that we are receiving the gift of Jesus Christ who brings freedom. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you that that love has been demonstrated over and over and over again, but never so clearly as it was on Calvary. We're grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us of all the times that we've taken him for granted, that we've been so complacent to just settle. Lord, instead, help us to be your children. Help us to be Jesus' disciples, abiding in our relationship with him, living in his word, living out the truth that we find there, experiencing real freedom. Father, whatever it is today that is holding us back, whatever chain is binding us, we pray right now in the power of Jesus' name that you would just break that chain, set us free in him to be all that you intended us to be. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.